20. The soul is immortal, and all souls are alike, both of men and women, for only the members of the body are distinguished. There is not a class of souls sinning by nature and a class of souls practicing righteousness by nature, but both act from choice, the substance of their souls being of one kind only and alike in all. I know, however, that I am talking much and that the time is already long, but what is more precious than salvation? Are you not willing to take trouble in getting provisions for the way against the heretics? And will you not learn the bypaths of the road, lest from ignorance you fall down a precipice? If your teacher think it no small gain for you to learn these things, should not thou, the learner, gladly receive the multitude of things told you? 21. The soul is self-governed, and though the devil can suggest, he has not the power to compel against the will. He pictures to thee the thought of fornication. If thou wilt, thou acceptest it. If thou wilt not, thou rejectest. For if thou wast a fornicator by necessity, then for what cause did God prepare Gehenna? If thou wast a doer of righteousness by nature and not by will, wherefore did God prepare crowns of ineffable glory? The sheep is gentle, but never was it crowned for its gentleness, since its gentle quality belongs to it not from choice, but by nature. Of the body. 22. You have learned, beloved, the nature of the soul as far as there is time at present. Now do your best to receive the doctrine of the body also. Suffer none of those who say that this body is no work of God. For they who believe that the body is independent of God and that the soul dwells in it as a strange vessel readily abuse it to fornication. And yet what fault have they found in this wonderful body? For what is lacking in comeliness, and what in its structure is not full of skill? Ought they not to have observed the luminous construction of the eyes, and how the ears being set obliquely receive the sound unhindered, and how the smell is able to distinguish scents and to perceive exhalations, and how the tongue ministers to two purposes, the sense of taste and the power of speech, how the lungs placed out of sight are unceasing in the respiration of the air? Who imparted the incessant pulsation of the heart? Who made the distribution into so many veins and arteries? Who skillfully knitted together the bones with the sinews? Who assigned a part of the food to our substance and separated a part for decent secretion and hid away the unseemly members and more seemly places? Who, when the human race must have died out, rendered it by a simple intercourse perpetual? 23. Tell me not that the body is a cause of sin. For if the body is a cause of sin, why does not a dead body sin? Put a sword in the right hand of one just dead, and no murder takes place. Let beauties of every kind pass before a youth just dead, and no impure desire arises. Why? Because the body sins not of itself, but the soul through the body. The body is an instrument, and as it were, a garment and robe of the soul. And if by this latter it be given over to fornication, it becomes defiled. But if it dwell with the holy soul, it becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost. It is not I that say this, but the Apostle Paul has said, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? Be tender, therefore, of your body as being a temple of the Holy Spirit. Pollute not your flesh in fornication, defile not this your fairest robe. And if ever you have defiled it, now cleanse it by repentance. Get yourself washed while time permits." 24. And to the doctrine of chastity, let the first to give heed be the order of solitaries and of virgins who maintain the angelic life in the world, and let the rest of you church's people follow them. For you, brethren, a great crown is laid up. Barter not away a great dignity for a petty pleasure. Listen to the apostle speaking. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. Enrolled henceforth in the angelic books for your profession of chastity, see that thou be not blotted out again for your practice of fornication. 25. Nor again, on the other hand, in maintaining your chastity, be thou puffed up against those who walk in the humbler path of matrimony. For as the Apostle says, let marriage be had in honor among all, and let the bed be undefiled. Thou too, who retainest your chastity, were you not begotten of those who had married? Because you have a possession of gold, do not on that account reprobate the silver. But let those also be of good cheer who, being married, use marriage lawfully, who make a marriage according to God's ordinance, and not of wantonness of the sake of unbounded license, who recognize seasons of abstinence, that they may give themselves unto prayer, who in our assemblies bring clean bodies as well as clean garments into the church, who have entered upon matrimony for the procreation of children, but not for indulgence. 26. Let those also who marry but once not reprobate those who have consented to a second marriage. For though continence is a noble and admirable thing, yet it is also permissible to enter upon a second marriage, that the weak may not fall into fornication. For it is good for them, says the apostle, if they abide even as I. But if they have not continency, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. But let all the other practices be banished afar, fornication, adultery, and every kind of licentiousness, and let the body be kept pure for the Lord, that the Lord also may have respect unto the body. And let the body be nourished with food, that it may live and serve without hindrance, not, however, that it may be given up to luxuries. Concerning meats, 27. And concerning food, let these be your ordinances, since in regard to meats also many stumble. For some deal indifferently with things offered to idols, while others discipline themselves but condemn those that eat. And in different ways men's souls are defiled in the matter of meats from ignorance of the useful reasons for eating and not eating. For we fast by abstaining from wine and flesh, not because we abhor them as abominations, but because we look for our reward, that having scorned things sensible, we may enjoy a spiritual and intellectual feast, and that having now sown in tears, we may reap in joy in the world to come. Despise not, therefore, them that eat, and because of the weakness of their bodies, partake of food, nor yet blame these who use a little wine for their stomach's sake and their often infirmities. And neither condemn the men as sinners, nor abhor the flesh as strange food, for the apostle knows some of this sort when he says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by them that believe. In abstaining then from these things, abstain not as from things abominable, else you have no reward, but as being good things, disregard them for the sake of the better spiritual things set before you. 28. Guard your soul safely, lest at any time thou eat of things offered to idols. For concerning meats of this kind, not only I at this time, but ere now apostles also, and James the bishop of this church, have had earnest care. And the apostles and elders write a Catholic epistle to all the Gentiles, that they should abstain first from things offered to idols, and then from blood also, and from things strangled. For many men, being of savage nature and living like dogs, both lap up blood, in imitation of the manner of the fiercest beasts, and greedily devour things strangled. But do thou, the servant of Christ, in eating observe to eat with reverence, and so enough concerning meats. Of apparel, 29. But let thine apparel be plain, not for adornment, but for necessary covering, not to minister to your vanity, but to keep you warm in winter, and to hide the unseemliness of the body, lest under pretense of hiding the unseemliness thou fall into another kind of unseemliness by your extravagant dress. Of the resurrection. 30. Be tender, I beseech you, of this body, and understand that you will be raised from the dead to be judged with this body. But if there steal into your mind any thought of unbelief, as though the thing were impossible, judge of the things unseen by what happens to yourself. For tell me, 100 years ago or more, think where wast you yourself, and from what a most minute and mean substance you have come to so great a stature and so much dignity of beauty. What then? Cannot he who brought the non-existent into being raise up again that which already exists and has decayed? He who raises the corn, which is sown for our sakes, as year by year it dies, will he have difficulty in raising us up, for whose sakes the corn also has been raised? Do you see how the trees stand now for many months without either fruit or leaves, but when the winter is past, they spring up whole into life again, as if from the dead? Shall not we much rather and more easily return to life? The rod of Moses was transformed by the will of God into the unfamiliar nature of a serpent, and cannot a man who has fallen into death be restored to himself again? 31. Heed not those who say that this body is not raised, for it is raised, and Esaias is witness when he says, the dead shall arise, and they that are in the tombs shall awake, and according to Daniel, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall arise, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting shame. But though to rise again is common to all men, yet the resurrection is not alike to all, for the bodies received by us all are eternal, but not like bodies by all. For the just receive them, that through eternity they may join the choirs of angels, but the sinners, that they may endure forever the torment of their sins. Of the laver. 32. For this cause the Lord, preventing us according to his loving kindness, has granted repentance at baptism, in order that we may cast off the chief, nay rather the whole burden of our sins, and having received a seal by the Holy Spirit, may be made heirs of eternal life. But as we have spoken sufficiently concerning the laver the day before yesterday, let us now return to the remaining subjects of our introductory teaching. Of the Divine Scriptures. 33. Now these, the divinely inspired scriptures of both the Old and the New Testament, teach us. For the God of the two testaments is one, who in the Old Testament foretold the Christ who appeared in the New, who by the law and the prophets led us to Christ's school. For before faith came, we were kept in ward under the law, and the law has been our tutor to bring us unto Christ. And if ever thou hear any of the heretics speaking evil of the law or the prophets, answer in the sound of the Savior's voice, saying, Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Learn also diligently and from the church what are the books of the Old Testament and what are those of the New. And pray read none of the apocryphal writings, for why do you, who know not those which are acknowledged among all, trouble yourself in vain about those which are disputed? Read the divine scriptures, the 22 books of the Old Testament, these that have been translated by the 72 interpreters. 34. For after the death of Alexander, the king of the Macedonians, and the division of his kingdom into four principalities, into Babylonia and Macedonia and Asia and Egypt, one of those who reigned over Egypt, Ptolemy Philadelphus, being a king very fond of learning, while collecting the books that were in every place, heard from Demetrius Phalereus, the curator of his library, of the divine scriptures of the law and the prophets, and judged it much nobler not to get the books from the possessors by force against their will, but rather to propitiate them by gifts and friendship. And knowing that what is extorted is often adulterated, being given unwillingly, while that which is willingly supplied is freely given with all sincerity, he sent to Eleazar, who was then high priest, a great many gifts for the temple here at Jerusalem, and caused him to send him 6 interpreters from each of the 12 tribes of Israel for the translation. Then, further, to make experiment whether the books were divine or not, he took precaution that those who had been sent should not combine among themselves by assigning to each of the interpreters who had come his separate chamber in the island called Pharos, which lies over against Alexandria, and committed to each the whole scriptures to translate. And when they had fulfilled the task in 72 days, he brought together all their translations, which they had made in different chambers without sending them one to another, and found that they agreed not only in the sense, but even in words. For the process was no wordcraft, nor contrivance of human devices, but the translation of the divine scriptures spoken by the Holy Spirit was of the Holy Spirit accomplished. 35. Of these, read the 22 books, but have nothing to do with the apocryphal writings. Study earnestly these only, which we read openly in the church. Far wiser and more pious than yourself were the apostles, and the bishops of old time, the presidents of the church who handed down these books. Being therefore a child of the church, trench thou not upon its statutes. And of the Old Testament, as we have said, study the 22 books, which if you are desirous of learning, strive to remember by name as I recite them. For of the law, the books of Moses are the first 5, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and next, Joshua the son of Nave, and the book of Judges, including Ruth, counted as 7th. and of the other historical books, the first and second books of the Kings are among the Hebrews one book, also the third and fourth one book. And in like manner, the first and second of Chronicles are with them one book, and the first and second of Esdras are counted one. Esther is the 12th book, and these are the historical writings. But those which are written in verses are 5, Job, and the book of Psalms, and Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs, which is the 17th book. And after these come the 5 prophetic books, of the 12 prophets one book, of Isaiah 1, of Jeremiah 1, including Baruch and Lamentations and the Epistle, then Ezekiel and the book of Daniel, the 22nd of the Old Testament. 36. Then of the New Testament there are the 4 Gospels only, for the rest have false titles and are mischievous. The Manicheans also wrote a Gospel according to Thomas, which being tinctured with the fragrance of the evangelic title corrupts the souls of the simple sort. Receive also the Acts of the 12 Apostles, and in addition to these the 7 Catholic Epistles of James, Peter, John, and Jude, and as a seal upon them all, and the last work of the disciples, the 14 Epistles of Paul. But let all the rest be put aside in a secondary rank, and whatever books are not read in churches, these read not even by yourself, as you have heard me say. Thus much of these subjects. 37. But shun thou every diabolical operation, and believe not the apostate serpent, whose transformation from a good nature was of his own free choice, who can overpersuade the willing, but can compel no one. Also give heed neither to observations of the stars, nor auguries, nor omens, nor to the fabulous divinations of the Greeks. Witchcraft and enchantment and the wicked practices of necromancy admit not even to a hearing. From every kind of intemperance stand aloof, giving yourself neither to gluttony nor licentiousness, rising superior to all covetousness and usury. Neither venture yourself at heathen assemblies for public spectacles, nor even use amulets in sicknesses. Shun also all the vulgarity of tavern haunting. Fall not away either into the sect of the Samaritans or into Judaism, for Jesus Christ henceforth has ransomed you. Stand aloof from all observance of Sabbaths and from calling any indifferent meats common or unclean, but especially abhor all the assemblies of wicked heretics, and in every way make your own soul safe by fasting, prayers, almsgivings, and reading the oracles of God, that having lived the rest of your life in the flesh, in soberness, and godly doctrine, you may enjoy the one salvation which flows from baptism, and thus enrolled in the armies of heaven by God and the Father, may also be deemed worthy of the heavenly crowns, in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.